This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It's now time for Connecting Caregivers with author, speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
Caregivers around the world today, it's time to lift you up. It's time to celebrate. Good afternoon and welcome to Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers with love, laughter, and lessons learned, because I got a whole bunch of that stuff and continue to learn more stuff every single day.
Yes, you do.
Just in the support group this morning, it was like, oh my, you know, my stomach is growling.
I know, I've been hearing it. If she's not here, she will be somewhere else.
With me is my best friend, my co-host, and my sidekick, not sidekick, Lynn Thornley.
Good afternoon.
Welcome. I'm glad you're here today.
Nice to be here.
It is nice to be here. And we have Mr. Ed on the boards. How are you doing today, Ed?
Still very hot on a Friday.
Yeah, it is a bit hot.
I heard a cold front's coming, though.
Really?
We'll talk to you in November.
November.
Oh, my God. I'll tell you, but it's been hot everywhere. And that voice laughing is our good friend, elder care attorney, Sean Scott.
Hey, Linda, how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Yeah, it's going to be a good day today.
But like I was saying, it's hot everywhere. So last week I was in New York.
It was hot?
It was hot. Felt like it was hotter than here. But anyway, so my stepmother lives in Greenwich Village. And up the block is Washington Square Park. And she has two Maine Coon cats, and I'm allergic. So, like, every 3 or 4 hours, I just, like, needed to get out and get the hairball out of my throat and get a little fresh air, and I would go to the park. There's many interesting people in the park. So one day I'm sitting on the bench, and I'm looking at my telephone, and I hear a voice say, "Is that bench next to you? Take it." And I look, and it's empty, and I go, "No." And I look up, and these two women sit down next to me, and they're totally naked. Totally naked.
No, they were painted.
Their body's painted. I'm gonna put my phone on so I can show you.
You will die.
I saw him like, and some guy's taking their picture. I'm like,
this is random in New York.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, excuse me, let me move over a little bit so I can give you some more room. Well, then there's like 15 of them, men and women, walking through the park. They all want their pictures taken, and everybody obliged. There's like 50 cameras taking pictures. The tourists are like dragging their children behind the bushes. I'm like, what?
Well, I have never in my life seen something like
it was
that
crazy.
Girl's body.
Yeah.
What is her breasts were bigger than my head.
It was just, but only in New York. I remember years ago, my grandson must have been like 9 years old, and we're walking through the city, and there was a woman walking topless. And he's like, "Grandma!" You know, whatever. Well, it's not against the law. But topless is one thing.
No, they fought for it, because if men can be topless, why can't women?
Oh, my God.
Well, I'm a big fan.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's crazy cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were, like, modeling and only in New York. So then the second day, I go there, and I'm sitting on this bench. And
that's crazy. A wild thing. Yeah. You never know
what
you're going to see in New York City.
Oh, my God. And so then the next day, a guy comes in, comes over and he sits down next to me. He looks kind of like he's homeless, but he's got like a sketch pad and stuff. And he goes, "Hi, I'm Ronald." And I go, "Hi, Ronald." Mm-hmm. "Oh, but my friends call me Ronnie." I go, "Oh, that's nice." And he goes like this, and he draws a heart on the piece of paper. And he goes, "What is that?" And I go, "A heart." And he goes, "No, it not." And now it looks like he's drawing a penis, because he's making the heart the bottom and everything. And I'm like, I got to get out of here. But then he made it a beautiful flower. And I was like, "I'm so sorry, Ronnie. I don't have any money to give you anything." I said, "I'm taking care of my stepmother." He said, "Well, if you come back later and bring her picture, my corner of the park is over there, and I'll draw her picture."
That's great.
Never saw him again after that. But
now you know why a lot of New Yorkers are moving to Florida.
Oh, I know. People are moving because you can't live there. It's too expensive.
And there's people sleeping all over the streets.
I go to the store to get like a little yogurt, which you can get here for $1.59, you know, whatever. $3.59.
What's a roll of toilet paper?
Like $5.99. Everything is $5.99. Everything is $5.99.
It's a $5.99 store.
Yeah. Everything in the yogurt is $5.99. The half and half is $5.99.
Keep it simple.
I had this little tiny bag. It was $108. It's like, and then my stepmother says, "Oh, she needs toilet paper and paper towels." Amazon.
No kidding.
Like 24 rolls and 32 rolls, and she's all stocked up. And I paid $1 a roll instead of $3 a roll. So, yeah. But just crazy.
And
then Then she has the two Maine Coon cats, and they needed to be sheared because they haven't been sheared in a while, and this and that. $600 for the groomer. It was an adventure.
It's like, but the board.
Cats. I know I'm allergic. I'm laying in bed. They just rub their tail against my face or whatever. And then I got there, and her TV wasn't any good anymore, and she didn't have internet. And I'm like, how? You can't live like this.
You can't live like
this. So I call my maintenance man friend, and I go, if I get a smart TV today and it comes tomorrow, can you, like, install it and do everything? And he's like, yeah, no problem. So they installed it, and we ordered extra wires, and they hooked her computer up to it so she can see it all.
Nice.
And, of course, the first thing she puts on is Fox News. Okay, Heidi.
I'm happy now.
There so you go.
I said, how about we found the biography channel, which is really cool. Like, I learned all about Pavarotti and some other people.
Oh,
it was
cool.
Really quite That's interesting. Neat. So right. That part was fun. And now my sister Patty is there. And Patty's a nurse, and we used to call her Nurse Ratchet. So she's taking care of Heidi now. But I'm telling you, she's like a whirlwind tornado, cleaning more things and just organizing. So it's all good. So I want to give out a shout out to our newest listeners. We have Jim in Largo, Charisse in St. Pete, and Jenny in Tampa.
Welcome.
And like I always say, there's plenty of room around the Connecting Caregivers table for more listeners, whether you listen when we're on the radio or on YouTube or Facebook or the website or wherever. I just want to bring you information. I just want to bring you resources. I want you to know that there's help out there. And so if you have any questions about anything, you can call into the station at 727-441-3000. You can call me on my cell at 727-365-8383 or contact me through my website, lindaberhans.com. And if I don't have the answer, I'll find the answer for you from somebody.
So I have a question.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, technical question. I was just thinking about this because, you know, you live stream this on Facebook, right? Do people watching on Facebook have the ability to write a question in real time?
Yeah, they can.
So if you are watching on Facebook, which is a great way watching Slack, yeah, you can actually see us on Facebook. That's interesting.
But
it's a radio show, but TV. They can actually write a question in like that. So instead of calling in, they could text it in, and we could read it. Oh, that is great. Yeah. That is great.
Well, I have some questions that people actually sent me this week for you.
Yeah,
they know
me.
Come on the first Friday of the month, and the first question is, why did you choose to become an elder care attorney?
That is a really good question.
I think so.
There's a story and an answer to that question. Yes. Here's the deal. I just started practicing law. I graduated from Stetson Law School and decided that I wanted to open up my own firm. And when you do this, it's called a threshold practice because you take anything that comes over the threshold. And it's kind of a little scary.
If you're in a car accident, right? if you got a DUI.
Correct. You know, it's these kinds of things that you're looking at, and you're doing a lot of different types of practice. And so I was doing divorces. I was doing estate planning. I was doing bankruptcies. I was doing all of these different kinds of things in order to, you know, make the business work. And then one night I was sitting in my office. It was 8 o'clock on a Tuesday. I was working on a client's file, and I had a little black and white television sitting on my desk. And I just had it on, and the only thing it would get was PBS over in Tampa. That's the only station I could get. And so on Tuesday nights at 8 o'clock, there's a documentary series called Frontline.
Okay.
And there's different topics through different things. It's a really quality show and a lot of very interesting things to learn. And there's this lawyer by the name of Harley Gordon standing up in a room full of old people in Massachusetts, and he's talking to them about the fact that they do not have to lose their entire life savings because they have to go to a nursing home. And it was, I didn't even know this was a thing at the time. And I was like, what? That's a problem? And what? There's a solution? And oh my goodness, do you see where I live in Pinellas County?
Yeah. Exactly. I have an audience. Yeah.
So it was like kind of divine intervention. The light bulb went on, and I was like, oh my goodness gracious, I'm going to figure out how to do that because I'm going to help people in Florida make sure that they never lose their life savings because they unfortunately get the wrong disease and have to go to a nursing home.
Yeah.
So, and that's right there. And I went out, I bought his book off of Amazon. And that was really the only book that was out there on this subject. Read it all cover to cover and then went out and figured out how to do this.
Yeah.
And how many years ago was this?
33.
Wow.
Yeah.
I thought you were only around 33.
Well, I'm going to take that as a good sign.
So as we're discussing it, because you do a lot of senior planning and everything.
Yep, yep.
Why should people go to you when they need to apply for Medicare and instead of going to the guy on the corner that says, that's all we do?
Well, there's different ways of solving the problem. And lawyers are like doctors, first of all. We're very much specialists in what we do, and we specialize into one area or the other area. So you have a cardiologist, you have a urologist, you have a neurologist. Well, they're all dealing with different parts of the body. And then lawyers are the same way. We deal with different parts of the legal world.
Right.
So you have a criminal lawyer, you'll have a bankruptcy lawyer, a divorce lawyer, and then you have somebody like me that's I don't really use this term, but I'm a Medicaid lawyer because that's the subject that I deal with and almost exclusively in my practice, and that's my sandbox and that's where I play and that's what I'm really, really good at. So a generalist probably should not be doing what I do. It's just too specific and too changing, and you really have to understand.
Yes, it is changing.
It's always anxiety, and it's very particular. So I'm really good at this. But a person that's just doing general law doesn't have the insight that I do. Okay. So well, you go to your general practitioner for most of the things that are kind of wrong with you as a doctor. But if you have an issue with your brain, you're probably going to go see a neurologist, right?
Yeah.
So that's why you would go to see somebody like me, is because it's of my specialty. But even though when you get into the specialty, not all doctors are created equal.
So exactly.
You could have 15 neurologists and 5 of them are good, 2 of them are great, and 1 of them you should go to. So, same idea in the law as well. There's people that have different proclivities. They have different bedside manners, for example.
Mm-hmm.
I think that my bedside manner is particularly suited towards dealing with this population and these kinds of problems. So that does differentiate us.
Well, you're
a
good
lot
at having the conversation, which is really important. Where you're sincere and honest, but you can have a little humor in there, and you don't
talk down.
No, absolutely. Regular, use regular normal language. My book, the Medicaid Handbook.
Yeah.
In on the top of it, it says a plain English guide.
Yeah.
Because in my world, I use plain English. I don't need to prove to you how smart I am with my fancy words.
Who cares?
I'm here to solve a problem, and I'm better at solving that problem if we're all talking the same language.
Absolutely. Yeah. 100%. And it's when people are in their caregiving experience, or even just an elder, they're just aging and everything, there's a lot of questions, there's a lot of different things. They just need some answers from somebody that's sharp and clear. That's why I relate so well with my caregivers. What you see is what you get, and I'm going to find out your answers. As I was saying earlier, I'm so blessed to be in this Tampa Bay area where professionals work together.
Yep, we have a very good network here.
Yeah,
I agree.
Because, if I refer somebody to Arden Courts, and Arden Courts is not the right fit for them, they're going to find a place for that person.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They're not just going to be, okay, you don't fit with us. Because when I go in other states and speak, they have these vendor fairs, it's like, oh, don't talk to him, or don't talk to them.
And it's not just Florida. I think it's the Pinellas County area, as far, this immediate area, is just a hugely effective network of being able to solve these problems. I agree.
Yeah, it's so very important. So always remember that if you have any questions, just call in. All right, so let's go a little further. Then there's these other guys on the corner that say they're Medicaid specialists, whatever, but they're not attorneys.
Well, I know of these people. So let's talk about this for half a second. So the Florida Supreme Court has actually ruled on the question, does Medicaid eligibility and applications and advising people on how to qualify for these very, very important benefits, is that the practice of law? And the Supreme Court in Florida has clearly, absolutely 100% indicated in a written opinion that it is the practice of law.
Okay.
So when you have somebody who is a non-lawyer going out and doing this, they are practicing law without this law license, all right? And just like a doctor, okay, they have to be educated. They have to go through these continuing education courses. They have to, be proven. They have to be a part of the medical board type situation, right? And so, and for good reasons, so that Joe down the street who says, oh, hey, I can do the same thing that doctor can do, and I'm cheaper. Probably Joe shouldn't practice medicine unless he's a doctor.
Yeah.
Okay. And likewise, these people that are doing this are really, they're practicing law without being lawyers. And what absolutely blows my mind is that they have figured a way to get around it, and that they say, well, listen, we work with a team of lawyers. Okay. So now think about this for half a second. So you're going to go to these people who aren't lawyers, who haven't studied in the law, who aren't
not being updated,
are not bound by this ethical rules of the Florida bar and all of these type of situations. And then you're going to go pay them to do this service for you. And then you're going to go pay the lawyer that they work with, in air quotes, and so that they're not practicing law because they're working with this lawyer who probably isn't an elder law attorney.
No, probably not.
Okay, and doesn't do what I do on a regular basis necessarily. And so now you end up paying them and paying the lawyer, and they're like, oh, we're cheaper. Yeah. That's not true.
And it's not true. And I've had caregivers come to me so upset because they took that route.
Yep.
And they thought it was going to be cheaper, and it wasn't cheaper. It was more expensive, and there was issues with it.
Well, you know, what this does frustrate me sometimes, a lot of times, is, you know, when I come and I help a client out, and they're getting older, they're looking at going into assisted living or a nursing home, it's either here or it's about to be here, and I'm going to, you know, do an analysis of what their finances are, we're going to see what they own, where they own it, who they own it with, and then I'm going to do a plan where we can come in and make sure that we can preserve and protect those assets and still get them this care that they need, paid for by Medicaid. Well, that's a huge thing. But, you know, there's things around that as well. For example, estate planning and incapacity planning, making sure you have that power of attorney in place. And the estate planning piece is huge. All of a sudden, we lose focus on that because we're focusing on getting them qualified for these benefits. But what the non-lawyer person can't do is these other things as well.
Right.
Like, hey, maybe we should change the healthy spouse's estate plan. Because husband's going into the nursing home, we're qualifying him for Medicaid benefits, we're moving assets into the healthy, the wife's name in this case, right? And all of a sudden, we just lose sight of the fact that, you know, the spouse who's healthy, that's not in the nursing home, she is just as equally liable to die before the guy that's in the nursing home.
Right.
And if she dies with her old estate plan, what's her old estate plan say with him and her? It says, hey, baby, if I die first, I want you to get all the stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because it's this reciprocal thing. And that back in the day was fine when they were both equal footing and equal healthy. But now he's in the nursing home. She's the healthy one, but she gets run over by a truck.
Yeah.
And she dies first. Her will says everything goes back to him. Why is that a bad thing? Because Medicaid says he can only have $2,000 in his name, and she just gave him everything.
Is that what it is, $2,000?
For a single person, you can have $2,000, yes. And so he becomes single if she dies first, and her estate plan, her will or whatever, says that everything goes back to him. And now his eligibility for these benefits is exploded. It's blown up. He's now disqualified for benefits.
Yeah.
Medicaid's not going to pay any longer. And all the money that she gave him now is subject to having to be paid to the nursing home. And so these Medicaid planning type people, they don't have the ability to deal with these peripheral issues, which are super critical.
Right, and they're not going to be able to look at the person's paperwork and say, this is their other paperwork.
Right.
You know, the POA or whatever, is this updated? Is this from another state? You need to make a change. They're just in there to...
You know, back in the day, barbers used to be doctors, basically.
That's right.
So you go to a barber and he would, you know, do this medical stuff.
Yeah.
I don't think so much today. I think that they've really got, you know, kind of just working on the hair side of things. But back in the day, you could go to a barber and they would do, I mean, we're talking the 1800s, right? And they would do some very significant medical procedures. Well, going to one of these Medicaid planners is like going to the barber. Okay, why are you going to the barber where you should be seeing the surgeon?
Right.
I just don't get it. So good question.
So think about it. Think about and I want to say this all the time. Do it early. Don't wait until there's a problem. Yeah. Don't wait until you're both at the age where one could go before the other. You know that.
I'm a big fan of planning ahead. You know, in my world, I deal with three different types of clients when it comes to the when should I take action question. Yeah. I deal with a lot of people, unfortunately, that are in a kind of an emergency situation that didn't do any planning, or you know, I was fine on Monday, but you know, he had a stroke on Tuesday.
Yeah.
How am I going to see that coming? So I do see people that are in kind of an emergency situation, quite a few of them. And then on the other side, I see people that are really super planners. They're going out and planning way in advance of any possibility.
Which is fabulous.
Which is good, and that makes them really happy. Not as many as the urgent emergency clients. But then there's this group in the middle.
model that I call, and I think a lot of people fall into this category, is the writing on the wall client. The writing on the wall. And that expression basically means that, hey, you got this warning flag, this problem's manifesting in your world, you have a diagnosis of Alzheimer's or Parkinson's right. or some sort of debilitating disease, flags are waving, hey, there's a problem coming, yeah. and you're not taking action to deal with what that problem's going to mean for you in the future. Because when you're on the, I call it sometimes the Alzheimer's train, when right. you're on that disease train, it's very predictable where it's going.
Right, and it's never getting better. You know, if someone has cancer, there's a chance they're going to get better. If someone has a stroke, there's a chance they're going to get better too soon. We
so,
can't.
I agree. So I say that on your way home from the neurologist after he told you that your husband has Alzheimer's disease, you probably should stop by our office. Because yeah. we have things that need to be done now. Because yeah. that disease issue is going to dramatically affect your world. What you have, the plans that you had in place are going to have to be changed. We're going to have to start talking about, hey, how are we going to take care of this guy? Mm-hmm. And how are we going to pay for it?
I'll tell you, even scarier, I read an article yesterday. They just diagnosed a 17-year-old with Alzheimer's.
I did see it. No. Yeah.
17 years old.
Yep. I think it's on my Facebook page, actually.
Maybe that's where I saw it.
I think you might have seen it. I posted it on my Facebook page.
That's very funny. Yeah,
so. Wow.
All right. Well, right now it's time to hear from our wonderful partners. So don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arden Courts is not just a place to live. It's a place to call home. Residential living combined with quality caregiving. This is the philosophy behind Arden Courts. Communities created exclusively for individuals with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia who would benefit from a safe and structured environment. For additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides, call 888-478-2410. To locate a community nearest you. Inquire about our educational seminars, resource library, or support groups, or simply feel free to ask questions you may have about Alzheimer's and related dementias. At Arden Courts, we know, we understand, and we can help because memory care is all we do. Remember, call 888-478-2410 for additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides.
Sean W. Scott has been practicing elder law and qualifying clients for Medicaid for over 30 years. While his practice is in all areas of estate planning, such as durable power of attorney, healthcare surrogates, and wills, he also prides himself on having a 100% accuracy rate on getting clients approved for Medicaid. Why Medicaid, you may ask? Do you want to pay up to $16,000 a month for a nursing home should the time come? Obviously, no one wants to have to endure this cost. So, even though you may have planned well for retirement, the reality is things happen. Planning ahead is never too soon. You need to make sure your income and assets are protected so that you can take care of you and your loved ones. Florida law is very specific on how and what is protected and how to protect it. Give Sean a call. He can help. 727-539-0181. That's 727-539-0181.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
And we're back. So I have some other questions for you, Sean.
All right, hit me. I love questions.
So someone said, I'm a loner. I have no family.
Mm-hmm.
My best friend just recently died.
Right.
That was my only person. What am I supposed to do now about POA healthcare yeah. surrogate? And pick it out of the phone book? Is that's the
yeah,
word she
no,
said.
Yeah, this, no, every now and then this happens is that, you know, when we're doing a power attorney, for example, we need to have somebody that can step in and fill your shoes if you can't, right? That it can be you if you can't be you because you're incapacitated. It's a backup plan. It's really super important that everybody has this. However, the practical side of things is that you can come into a place where you don't have somebody that you can appoint to be your person.
Right.
I'm a loner. Whatever, you know, but I don't. My family's died, or I don't get along with them.
Right.
You know, I have two kids, but I haven't talked to them in 30 years.
Them.
I don't trust them. You know, all of these different situations that you cannot have somebody. That's obvious. So here are your options. In that situation, you can do something called a pre-need appointment of guardian, which is where, okay, I'm going to appoint a person to be my power of attorney-like person, but they will actually go through a guardianship process. They have to prove that I'm incapacitated, but this is the person that I would like to be in that role. And so you can do that where you have at least some choice of who your guardian would be. The other option is to not do that at all and just hope for the best that you just not being funny, but that you just die and you never are incapacitated, and just kind of roll the dice and hope for the best. And if something does come up where you can't manage your affairs, then the state will move through the process that a guardian will be appointed for you, and that person will come in and be you, and it will be managed by and overseen by the court. Processes can be a little bit cumbersome, can be expensive as well, because the cost of going through the guardianship process and the attorney's fees and,
right.
and all of that can be expensive. And then there's an ongoing issue where the guardian is still reporting to the court, and anytime something has to happen, the guardian is supposed to go to the court and ask for permission to do that. So it's cumbersome and a little, and not as efficient, and it costs money. But it is an option if you don't have the power of attorney. We're using the power of attorney to avoid the guardianship. The other choice is to possibly look for what's called a private fiduciary to come in and appoint them to be your power of attorney. Now, some professional...
So many times is your financial advisor?
No, they're usually not allowed to serve in that capacity because of their the way they're licensed and the way they're administered. Sometimes a lawyer sometimes will serve in that capacity as a private fiduciary.
Do you do that?
I try not to. Okay. Every now and then it does happen, but I try not to. The Florida Bar doesn't really like us to do it, but that we can. It can become expensive too, because now you're paying me to do things that you wouldn't be paying your son or somebody to do. And then there's this idea of a private fiduciary, which is some guardians also serve as a private fiduciary, where they come in and act as your power of attorney. Now, the downside of that is that they're not being monitored by the court. They're not licensed. They're not insured. These kinds of things. So, but those are unfortunately your options.
You know, and I think sometimes maybe there is someone that you're not thinking of right now, because I know, for instance, in my Kiwanis group, there was a gentleman, Lee Walters, and he just passed away recently. But he was like power of attorney for a bunch of people, like in his senior community that trusted him, that knew him as a long time. You know, so somebody like that, or if you have a church affiliation, maybe there's someone in your church that you've known for a long time that you could trust, because
you know, a lot of times there is somebody out there that maybe you're not thinking is an obvious choice. Majority of times we're always looking at somebody within the family structure, because we believe that they have some sort of connection which will help bond them and help be, you know, make them do the right thing in that capacity. I'm not saying that's necessarily truth all the time, but that's where we kind of default to. But you may have a neighbor or a friend of yours that could do this just as well, and might be a better choice.
Well, she's my healthcare surrogate, because she'll pull the plug. Nobody in my family will.
Well, there is that. You got to make sure.
I'm serious.
No, this is actually more common than you might think. Yeah. I've heard this story before. Yeah. I picked her because she'll do what needs to be done.
Right, what I want.
Correct.
And that's what it's all about.
They will never talk to me again, but oh well.
My family won't.
Exactly.
But no, really, and that's why we need to have these conversations, because many people, it's like, oh, it should just be my sister, or it should just be my brother, or whatever. Maybe that's not the, you know, and maybe they're good for your finances, but they're not good for your medical.
And you know, if you want to keep it in the family, it can be a more distant relative. That's okay, too. So when you do that, you don't necessarily, especially in this power of attorney realm, you don't have to go wave the document in their face and say, you're my power of attorney. But it's there in case you need them, then that may be a better choice than a guardian.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. All right, we have another question. I am 23 and newly married.
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of documents do I should get as a 23-year-old? My husband and I said we're going to make a will, and that's as far as we've discussed.
Well, there's a real good answer to this. So regardless of your age, once you're 18 years of age, you no longer have any parents that can act on your behalf. So you're kind of flying solo. And that solo thing makes me really nervous. So when the week my son turned 18, he was in the office and he did a power of attorney, a healthcare surrogate, and a simple will. So we call this the Trinity in the office. We believe these are fundamentally the three things that every breathing person over 18 should have. So 23's over 18, power of attorney needs to be there. You need to have a co-pilot to fly if you can't fly financially. You need to have somebody that can come in and talk to your doctors and physicians if necessary, if you can't. And the will, make sure that your stuff goes where you want it to go. Even if you don't have anything, well, you have something. So here's an interesting story with my
and
son.
And you could win the lottery tomorrow and you'll have a whole bunch.
Yes, absolutely. Stranger things have happened.
Yeah.
So within a year of my son signing his healthcare surrogate and power of attorney, he's driving down to Miami on I-95. He was with a friend. A friend was driving, actually. And some car comes up and passes them on the right side, right? And tags him, touches him, you know, touches when hits their car when it changes lanes, and the car spins out, goes off the side of the road, ends up upside down in the trees, and my son is wakes up with the fire department cutting him out of the car, and then putting him on a helicopter to the Fort Pierce emergency room because of a broken neck and a broken back, and he's in a coma basically.
Oh my God!
Because he can't talk to anybody, so. Who comes in and talks on his behalf? His healthcare surrogate. Who's that? Me. Why? Because he signed this piece of paper saying it.
Right.
And without that, we would have had a much more difficult time managing his healthcare.
Oh, yeah. It would be so terrible.
And it was just easy.
Because they don't have to talk to you.
And you have to talk to me, and I'm going to make the decisions, and you can tell me everything you need to tell me under HIPAA and all this stuff.
Right.
And it's a piece of cake versus, hey, I'm his girlfriend, and, can you tell me? I'll help him. No, that's not going to happen. So it's super, super important that you have these things because you never know when you're going to get hit by a truck.
How do you recover from that?
Fine. You got okay. It was remarkable that it was no paralysis and nothing that was bad. But it was touch and go there for a while. So
that was scary. Hereditary because of you.
Yeah, hereditary because of me. What? I get hit by one truck and what? It's genetic?
Come on. Yeah, I think so.
So one of the other things I want to talk to you guys about today is fall prevention, because my theory is the fall is the end. It's so important. So
gravity's going to get you.
Yeah, Fall Prevention Awareness Week is September 18th to the 22nd. So the National Council on Aging is doing a whole thing, and there are going to be a whole bunch of events at the Sunshine Center in St. Pete.
Oh, that's a great place, right down by Mirror Lake, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yep, very good.
And they have those beautiful banyan trees and everything.
Very nice,
So the mayor is going to proclaim, you know, it's Fall Prevention Day or whatever for the Falls Coalition on Monday, September 18th. Then there's going to also be at the Sunshine Center on Monday, they'll be Saving Claire. And that's a whole film about fall prevention that's a little comical and a little interesting. Then on Tuesday, they will have Ageless Grace exercises for fall prevention and AARP's Home Fit program, which is another thing, which is to see what kind of grab bars you need in your house and what other kind of things you need to do. Then on Wednesday, they're having Soul Line Dancing with the St. Pete firefighters in EMS.
Oh, then there you go.
Okay, this is called what?
That's the day I'm going.
Soul Line Dancing.
Yes.
We'll go to that.
Is that a thing?
So,
I don't know. What is this? And what are the firefighters going to be there?
Yeah, they're going to be dancing.
It says, presentation.
Mark your calendar. I am.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you. With what they've been doing in Pinellas County with this whole fall prevention, trying to bring out awareness and everything, statistics show that the fire department and the EMS are getting less calls.
Yep.
Are getting less calls because people are starting to listen about falling, and they're still getting rid of their throw rugs, and they're doing all this stuff, and they're getting their button, and they're not, because there was some person that was calling like all the time because she was afraid she was going to fall. And they had to actually lift her wheelchair up into the house.
Wow.
Well, finally, somebody said, why don't we just get her a ramp? You know, why don't we just...
Wow.
And that's what they ended up doing. They got it from a grant.
Right.
But, you know, so reach out if you have an issue like that. Also on Thursday, will be my friends from AE Corner, Cindy and Christina. They've been part of all my conferences. I'll be the first time I'm meeting them. They're a physical therapist and an occupational therapist. And they would go into people's houses and seeing they weren't using their equipment properly or they didn't have the equipment they needed.
Neat.
So they test out equipment for people all over the world. They send them the equipment, they test it out, they don't make any money on it, they just tell you this is good and this isn't good and this is what you need and this is the latest and greatest.
They have the greatest things.
Yep, so they will be doing a presentation there, and then I'll also be there with Super Patches, which is so important for me with fall prevention. Because like I say, the fall's the end. And then on Friday, they're having fall prevention bingo. So that should be interesting. I'll keep you all apprised of that.
Are the firefighters going to be there too?
I don't know. Hey, Some of those EMS, I'll go there draw. Every day if they're going to be there. Also want to mention, a lot of people have been calling me that they need medical equipment and they can't afford it, or they have medical equipment and they don't know what to do with it. So you can contact the Disability Achievement Center on Belcher Road in Largo at 539-7550. If you need, they have wheelchairs, they have walkers, they have incontinence supplies. Somebody called me the other day and said, my client's husband died or whatever, and she said, do you know where we can get rid of a wheelchair and boxes of Depends?
Really?
She said, do you know where we can sell them? I said, no, I don't know where you can sell them, but I know where you can donate them to.
So what is this place called? Let me see
the Disability Achievement Center. So I come home from work that night.
Right.
There's boxes of Depends in front of my house. In a
and now all the neighbors are going, are oh, Linda.
Linda.
Yeah. So it's really good because the Disability Achievement Center just wants to help people become stay independent, which I think is so very important. And the Diapers with Dignity is just absolutely a great program.
You know, when I donated Jack's, it was a mobile wheelchair.
Yeah.
I couldn't get rid of the car till, because, you know, it was a ramp vent. And so I went to Goodwill up on Missouri. And there was a man there, and he said to me, with tears in his eyes, I just came, I need one so badly. And you're just like,
that makes you feel so good, doesn't it? Because the landfills are being filled with this equipment, and there are people that need it that don't have it.
That's amazing. I'm going to take one of this home back, back to the office with me. Definitely. Yeah. This is very, I did not know these people existed.
Holy
How did family. I not know this?
I don't know.
This is really Disability Achievement Center at 12552 Belcher Road South in Largo. Wow.
Yeah, I speak there every year. They have a group of college students from all different colleges, from fraternities, and then they do a cycle. They cycle from, like, I don't know, somewhere like Miami.
Right, a big bike ride, yeah.
And they always stop at the Disability Achievement Center. And so I spoke there a couple of years when all these young, beautiful, handsome young men come there just raising money.
You never invite me to those ones.
And then during COVID, they did it virtual. They biked on bikes in their rooms.
Oh, stationary bikes.
In the dorm.
Oh, wow, how
but,
cool.
But it's so kind, too, because you see them come, and you see, like, there was, like, some young girls there with, like, autism and some different things, and the girl was making jewelry, and they all bought the jewelry. You know, it's just really good people.
All right.
That's really good people.
That's going on to, thank you very much.
And I can get you stuff from
them. Yeah, definitely. I want to make sure we promote them. They're great.
They're also the ones that have been placing all the Moby mats on the beach.
Oh, that's them.
That's from them.
Oh, really cool. The way you can get the wheelchair down through the beach, that
right.
blue thing,
yeah.
Yeah, to make it accessible.
What yeah, so fabulous.
Yeah, what a great
Jody.
Idea. What a great idea.
Yeah, some people just want that last time to go to the beach or just want to go see a sunset or just want to do something with their
family.
They just
did one on San Key a couple months ago. They have one.
Thank God to Jody Armstrong from the Disability Achievement Center. She is like a firecracker.
She is so excited about all of them.
She does. She just gets so delighted, which is just very wonderful. Also, today, Sean's going to be at the Largo Library, right, Sean?
As soon as I leave here, directly to the Largo Library to give a presentation on how to use Medicaid to save your life savings.
There you go. And also on Monday, you'll be at the Seminole Library from 2 to 4. Today, it's at Largo from 2:30 to 4:30.
Yep.
And Sean does these every month. So if you can't come this time, you can come another time. You can go to his website, and you can download his book.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, you can buy it on Amazon if you want. It's $20. But
yeah. I kind of like the hard copy.
You can go to the website and
yeah, but if you download it, it's costing you $20 in ink anyway.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, if you print it out.
But, you know, if you come to a seminar, rumor has it that we give you one for free.
Oh, wow.
Which is kind of neat, because it's like you can take the seminar home with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's neat.
Yeah, because, you know, you absorb so much there, and then you have other questions, and then your spouse has questions and whatever.
Yep,
that's why. And I like that it's in plain English.
Plain English, yeah.
It's
about 150 pages, so there's a lot of information and data there. Good philosophy about why you're doing this, how to do it.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's very
important. It's funny, you know, I even see books like on Alzheimer's and dementia, and there's, you know, the popular 36-hour day. It's so dense. I don't think it helps a caregiver.
Over information.
Yeah, it's too much. It's little print. It's a small little book, you know.
Little print. Oh, you are getting old.
Yeah, I've always been a big fat girl to begin with.
A couple years ago, it wasn't that small, but now it's really tiny.
That's how you need the Nook. I was reading my Nook. I was actually reading my sister's Nook, and there's a little thing you press and make the letters bigger.
Yeah. Well, when I was at Heidi, somebody sent some things from Harry and David, some food and stuff, so I'm looking to heat it up. I needed a magnifying glass with my glasses.
Yeah, it's too tall.
See the name. I know. Thing. Oh my goodness. So I want to read this. It's a little serious, but I think it's worth reading that someone sent to me. It says, I wish doctors would give this to all my family members dealing with a loved one who has dementia. And this was written by a young man. He said, number one, if I get dementia, I want my friends and family to embrace the reality. Please do that. There are families that they're hiding it. They're even hiding it from their grandchildren. And I remember a friend of mine, Mary Jo, who's now writing a book about her experience with her husband, they didn't want their grandchildren to know. And their children didn't want their grandchildren to know. And the grandchildren did a lot with the grandfather. They're outdoors, they kayak, they hunt, they do all this stuff. Well, one day the grandfather, like, screams at the little boy for no reason, because he has Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the little boy is hiding behind the garage crying. And so his grandma, he said, what's the matter with him? And she said, your parents are going to tell you tonight.
Makes a difference.
Yeah, it's good.
I hear you.
Well, then the next week when the kid came, he ran to his grandpa and hugged his grandpa. And he just wanted to help his grandpa.
Right, because he had context.
Because he knows. Yep. He loves his grandpa. Now if his grandpa yells at him a little bit, he knows it's okay, you know?
My Jack, when he had it, he was used to go on his grandson's Facebook pages and make inappropriate comments to the girls.
What? Oh my gosh.
And these boys just went, hey, it's okay, he's not
I
well.
I think we need to ban him.
They did, they'll block him.
Yeah, block him.
All right, number two, if I think my deceased relatives are still alive, or I think we're visiting my parents for dinner, let me believe those things, I'll be much happier.
Big
for
time.
So somebody comes in a support group, they say, Mom keeps asking for Dad, I told her he died 15 years ago, I go, what does Mom do? She cries.
Yeah.
Oh, she asked me the same thing the next day. I said, you tell her the same thing? Yeah, what does she do? She cries. I said, do you like your mother crying?
Yeah, because that person's dying and fresh every day.
It's the first time. Nobody told me my husband died.
Every day you're going to tell that person? Come on.
Right. I didn't even know he was sick.
Yeah. I mean, and I don't think people actually see they're just trying to be honest and, you know, like, he died. Yeah. And
it's that compassion.
He did?
Yeah.
Every day it's just a gut punch.
It's terrible.
Stop it.
Stop it.
But they're not doing it on purpose.
Because they know. They got to learn.
Right.
They got to learn about this disease. If I get dementia, don't argue with me about what is true.
I'm right. That settles it.
Yeah, because you're never going to win. You're never going to win. Just let them be.
Go downstream.
Yeah. If I get dementia, I'm not sure who you are. Do not take it personally. My timeline is confusing to me. So many times, you know, they'll forget who you are, but they know that you're someone they trust. They might not remember your name. They might not remember that you're their wife or they're your husband or whatever, but they feel comfortable with you. And one trick you can try is, because many times when the grandkids come over and grandpa doesn't know their name, they get a little bent out of shape, which I don't think is a little crazy, but if you put a photo of yourself on your shirt when you were younger, many times he can make that connection and get that. And if he doesn't, and instead of calling you Freddie, he calls you Harry, who cares? Who cares?
Yep.
If I get dementia and can no longer use utensils, do not start feeding me. Instead, switch me to a finger food diet and see if I can still feed myself.
Right.
You know, because we want our dignity. We want to be able to do as much as we can. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of new restaurants that are having dementia-friendly areas. And so there's not a lot of confusion in that part of the restaurant. And you can call up and order the food ahead of time. So when they come in, because they like to eat right away.
Right, right.
And you can order it cut up.
Right.
So now I'm not embarrassing you. It's all cut up when it's served.
Ready to rock
and
roll. Right. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Will they do that for me?
Me, I know.
I'd like to have the pre-cut menu.
Yeah.
That's good.
Oh, there they are, my daughter.
I love it.
What'd you say? Kiss my ass.
Literally. Sitting on my phone.
Oh my God. If I get dementia, I don't want to be treated like a child. Talk to me like the adult I am. Please do that. if I get dementia, ask me to tell you a story about from my past, because I can probably do that. And we can have a conversation. And I say lots of times when people don't know what to talk about, if you create a memory box, so if you go online and if your grandma was a Girl Scout leader and you print out pictures of Girl Scouts, and if you're smart, put her troop number on. Mine is 1410.
Thank you.
Oh, Grandma, tell me about the Girl Scouts. Or if Grandma was born in Brooklyn, print out some pictures of Brooklyn. Oh, yep. Grandma, tell me about when you went on the subway, you know, and you'll learn some things you never know.
Because the deep past is still available.
Yeah.
The near past is gone.
Yeah. If I get dementia, I become agitated. Take the time to figure out what is bothering me, and that's so important. There are people that get agitated in the afternoon and have sundowners. And many times, if you can get the clues and you can see it's that air conditioning that keeps clicking on, or it's that shower, it's that shadow from the curtain at that time of the afternoon that makes me feel creepy, let's try to find out why they're feeling that way and what it is that's bothering them. Let's see. Oh, make sure there's plenty of snacks.
Donuts.
If I get dementia, don't talk about me as if I'm not in the room. That's right. Another one that annoys me. Or when the doctor doesn't talk to the patient.
Yep.
They talk to the other person like they're not even there. Please don't do that.
And you know, we're dealing with our clients, and the person with the cognitive issues is there with the husband or the daughter or whoever. Mm-hmm. And it's always, you just have to make sure that you are bringing them into the conversation as much as you can. Yeah, they're not a third person that you just talk about in the abstract.
It's so depressing. So. You know, I read a book recently written by a woman that had dementia. Mm-hmm. And she says at one part, she goes, I'm in the car, I'm in the back seat, but I don't want to go where they're taking me. But they got the doors locked. I can't go out. I need to just sit here and be like a good girl so I don't get in trouble. Mm. Oh, I don't want to ever feel that way.
I understand.
Oh, I'd go crazy.
Yeah. I don't ever want to feel that way. All right, now it's time to hear from our wonderful partners, so don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Choosing the right chiropractor is an important choice to make. Located in Seminole, the Alexander Spine Center team is trained on the latest chiropractic treatments and technologies. At Alexander Spine Center, you'll find chiropractic and physical therapy care that is safe, effective, and a natural approach to pain and other health-related issues. Chiropractic unlocks your body's potential and natural healing process to ensure your life is a healthy life. We treat clients from the womb to the tomb. Call 727-397-3000 for a free consultation today, or visit our website at www.alexanderspinecenter.com.
They take good care of me twice a week, so check them out.
Arden Courts is not just a place to live. It's a place to call home. Residential living combined with quality caregiving. This is the philosophy behind Arden Courts. Communities created exclusively for individuals with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia who would benefit from a safe and structured environment. For additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides, call 888-478-2410 to locate a community nearest you. Inquire about our educational seminars, resource library, or support groups, or simply feel free to ask questions you may have about Alzheimer's and related dementias. At Arden Courts, we know, we understand, and we can help, because memory care is all we do. Remember, call 888-478-2410 for additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides.
Guaranteed to make you laugh through your tears, Linda Burhan's book, Good Night and God Bless, is filled with humor and heartfelt inspiration to aid anyone facing the challenge of caring for a loved one at the end of life. Her story offers hope for human strength and understanding of weaknesses during a difficult time. Life doesn't normally prepare us to become a loved one's caregiver. When it happens, it's usually sudden. A diagnosis of an illness, age-related frailty, dementia, and life suddenly is anything but normal. And because we don't even know what we don't know, where do we turn to for help or guidance? In Connecting Caregivers, answers to the questions you didn't know you needed to ask, Linda offers information, education, and inspiration from her own experience and from experts whose advice, practical tools, and personal stories will empower and guide you. Make sure to add these inspiring books to your collection today, available on Amazon.com.
Introducing the life-changing Footbar Walker.
I'm Peggy from Danville, Kentucky, and I'm 91 years old. The Footbar Walker revolutionized my care of George. It absolutely benefits the patient and the caregiver both, and that's the beauty of it. It's so easy to use. It folds up just like a dream. I got it in and out of the car without any effort at all. The saving that I made from having to put him in a nursing home came to about $192,000.
Does someone you love use a walker? Do they struggle to get up from a seated position? Are you a caregiver dealing with physical pain and stress as you help your patient? The Footbar Walker was designed to assist not only the patient, but also the caregiver. Patients have more control standing up, and no lifting from the caregiver is required. See how it works at thefootbarwalker.com. That's thefootbarwalker.com. Peggy, would you recommend the Footbar Walker?
Do I ever? I would not be in the health that I'm in today at this age had it not been for the Footbar Walker.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Do I ever?
Do I ever? I love Peggy. So if any of you guys want to get in contact with Sean, you can call his office at 727-539-0181. First consultation is for free.
Yep, that's a pretty good
deal. And if you can't
do
it, you can do it over Zoom, right? If you need
to,
or whatever.
Phone conversations, we do it video-wise over Zoom or FaceTime. Absolutely. Yeah. There's no technology that we can't do.
Yeah, and please, take care of yourself, because if you don't, in the long run, it's going to cost you a whole lot more money and a whole lot more headaches.
Yep.
And you don't want that. I mean, people plan more for their vacation than they do for their retirement. It's like, I don't know. I just want to say one last thing here, because I don't have time to do the rest of this list. But if I get dementia, know that I still like receiving hugs and handshakes. Please touch your loved ones.
Yep.
There are some people that all they want is a hug, or they just want you to come over and rub their arm a little bit. And the thing is, too, especially if you're a long-distance caregiver and you're coming to visit, when you hug mom, many times you can feel maybe she lost some weight. And you're not sure, It's also a good precursor.
Oh, that's scary when I put my arm around my mom and
you feel it, then you know. So please think about that. So I love you guys. You know where to find me, lindaburhands.com. Tune in next week for another fabulous show. Remember, God loves you all the time, and have a delicious day. Yeah.